Okay, so this is basically the use case diagram and the various symbols that you would use. Obviously, the stick diagram is actor, so that signifies the relationship with the system or the interaction with the system, his interaction or her interaction with the system. The eclipses that you see all around here like this are basically the use cases that we are talking about. We'll understand what each one of these words mean. The square box that you see over here is the boundary. These are the various connections that you see. Then these are the dotted lines, are the linkages, and what relation you need to exclude and how do you basically extend the relationship. So you can see over here, these two are include relationships. So you have registered for a course, so the customer would register for the course and the course registration would go to the billing team. Then he would, so if I register for the course, I will need to enter my personal data or I will browse and select the course catalog first. Then the customer will request for information. So it will either be from the catalog or from the personal data. And finally, he will send the comment. So who are the people and what are the symbols in the system? The actors are those who interact with the system, humans or other systems. So going back to the previous slide, instead of the billing, here as an actor, I could also have a billing system. So this would indicate another system also and not a human who is taking care of the billing. Interaction or use case, it denotes the name of the interaction. It is represented as a named Alice. So we saw register for a course, request for information, send comment, browse catalog, enter personal data, and all of that is what we call as the interaction or the use case. Connection lines that links between the actors and the interaction. So we can see wherever the communication between the actor and the system appears, these lines are what is being denoted by that. Then I come to include in a relationship. That means it denotes a connection between two interactions when the interaction is invoked by another. As an example, splitting a large interaction into several interactions. So when I do that, like register for a course would have two options to it. It would have the course that I want to register for and my personal information. So for include interactions, they would depend on each other. There would be a dependency there or a connection there. But when I talk about exclude relationship, it has a connection between the two interactions, but that does not mean that the interaction cannot exist without the other. So it says you want to extend the interaction by adding an optional behavior, but you can choose the main interaction on its own without also extending. So that's how, those are the use case diagram symbols that you need to be aware about. Now we finish requirement categorization. Now let's look at classification and organization. Determining if stated requirements are clear, complete, consistent and unambiguous, it is important for the success of the project. So this we have said at every stage during in the requirement analysis and gathering, it is very important to understand you need clear, you need complete, you need consistent, and you need unambiguous information. Organizing the overall structure of the system to be developed is critical. Also, resolving any apparent requirement conflicts is necessary before starting the development of the project. So, organizing the overall structure of the system to be developed is critical. That means I gather the requirements. But if through the requirements, I'm not able to develop a structure of the system I want to develop, the solution I want to develop, the app I want to develop, then that information is of no relevance to me. I need to be ensured that the requirements gathering is giving me the design or at least a structure of what the solution needs to look like. Also, what it talks about is resolving any apparent requirement conflicts is necessary. So if there are some conflicts between the stakeholders and there is some unrealistic requirements, you want to ensure that everybody is on board before you start the development of the project, or it might result into issues into a later stage. Grouping related requirements together or decomposing the system into subcomponents of related requirements is important. Identifying the relationship between these components will aid in identifying the suitable structural architectural design patterns. Now, again, I have to be able to understand which requirements goes together. Also, if there is a large requirement, or then I will need to basically look at the entire system and break it into smaller requirements. Why? Because so that I can group the various components together, I can understand which subcomponent of which requirement is more important, which is not. And it will also help me in identifying whether between different components, different subcomponents, there will be a relation. Between different components, will it affect the overall architectural design pattern? Is there a connection, and how will the pattern change? Then, now we finished two steps, which is we started with first understanding the discovery, then we went on to classifying and organizing our requirements. Now we come to the third, which is prioritizing and negotiation. So now eliciting and understanding requirements is not an easy process, which we've understood, because we are going to get conflicts, we might get biases and all of that, which we need to take about. Now conflicts may arise due to different stakeholders being involved, making it difficult for even impossible to satisfy all the parties. There's obviously going to, when I have multiple stakeholders, like 10, 20, 30 stakeholders in a project, I'm not going to be able to meet everybody's requirements. So I, like we mentioned earlier, extra requirements are still fine. I can decide what is important and what is not. What is not important is missing. So when I have extra information, I will need to prioritize what requirements would actually meet my business goal and negotiate with the stakeholders to bring them on page that what is possible, what is not possible, and which requirements you're prioritizing. Probably you would want to even break down the requirements into phases. So telling them this is probably we'll have to prioritize in phase one and the reason why it needs to be done, what will need to be prioritized in phase two, and accordingly. This activity also includes finding and resolving requirement conflicts through negotiation. So when there are conflicts, there are going to be ego clashes, there are going to be biases, and you would want to ensure that these conflicts are resolved and everybody's on the same page. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of negativity involved with regards to the project, and you're not going to either manage it later or be able to take care of it later. Eliciting and understanding requirements is not an easy. Requirement specification. So now that we are done with the prioritization of the and negotiation of the requirements. Okay, the next point after your requirements prioritization and negotiation is the requirement specification. So like the name says, requirement specification is basically what I'm doing is defining not only the user requirements but also the system requirements. So again, we keep repeating this and we will keep repeating this throughout this chapter, that the requirements have to be clear, easy to understand, complete and consistent. Understand it is basis of on this requirements gathering that you've done, that the development team will work on the system and develop the system. Achieving this is challenging due to different stakeholders, interpretations and inherent conflicts and inconsistencies in requirements. Now why achieving this is challenging? Because you're going to have multiple stakeholders. The more the stakeholders, your requirements are going to be inconsistent. The user might require completely something completely different from what the actual sponsor of ones, and you will need, as a business analyst, to sit down and ensure that everybody is on the same page when it comes to the, resolving these conflicts, this inconsistency. You want a clear and complete, consistent information before you get started working on the solution or the project. Requirement engineering is an iterative process with interleaved processes. The first iteration involves specifying user requirements. The next iteration involves more detailed system requirements. So before we go into the next slide, which is user requirements, let's try to understand what is requirements engineering. So requirements engineering is not something I will achieve in one go. The requirement gathering process or the requirement specification process will require an iterative approach with interleaved processes, where at one point of time I'm getting the user requirements, the other point of time I'm getting the system requirements, at one time I might even get the stakeholder requirements and all of that. So what is the user requirements that you're talking about? User requirements should be described in a way that is understandable on to non-technical users. So the moment I say it should be understandable to non-technical users, I mean completely do not use jargons. Reduce the use of jargons that is there in the system. Yes, you can explain it later to the technical team with your use of jargons, so they understand what needs to be done. But the user needs to be able to understand, to confirm what they want from the system. Function and non-functional requirement should both be included in the user requirements. So I'm going to include functional requirements, non-functional requirements, all sort of requirements I'm going to make a note of. User requirements should be written using natural language as well as simple tables, forms, and intuitive diagrams. When I'm listing specifically the user requirements, everything should be, try using more graphical, try using more low-level language that a normal person would speak in. Try making it as simple as possible. Why intuitive diagram? Because at the end of the day, a picture speaks a thousand words. So pictures, diagrams are more clear to understand, like the use case diagram that we saw, rather than just putting text and explaining how everything works. The requirement document should not include details of the system. Software jargon and formal notation should not be used in the user requirement. So when it comes to the requirement document, and especially when I'm talking about the user requirements, I'm not going to talk about the system design, any sort of jargons or any sort of formal notation. I'm just going to keep it very simple, because that is the basic requirement. That is something that even the user needs to understand. We can keep the software jargon and the formal notification, everything for the system design. So we come to the system requirements. What are the system requirements? Are an expanded version of the user requirements used by software engineers as the starting point to start system design. System requirements provide detail and explaining how the system should fill the user requirement. System requirements should not be concerned with system implementation or design. System should be written in natural language, but structured forms or graphical notations are commonly used. Now, once I've got documented the user requirement, I am now going to convert that to the system requirement for my technical team to understand. So by using the system requirements, I'm just extending the user requirements that is there. But in that, I will be more descriptive as to what is the design. I will probably not include how it should be implemented or what exactly the design should be, but I'll mention what is the requirements in detail, how the system should work as per the user requirements, and again you will write it in normal language but more structured with more graphical notations that are used. That means I will use proper graphical notations that technical systems would understand. So ways of writing requirement specification, I have natural language, which is requirement should be written in natural language using numbered sentences, with each sentence expressing a single requirement. So basically all your natural language requirements should be written in bullet points. structured natural language. Requirements are written in natural language on a structure, on a standard form or template, with each field providing information about a different aspect of the requirement. That means I'll probably have table and excels, and everything would be more structured. So an addition to this natural language would be structured natural language. So we are moving from user requirement to system requirement. Design description language. This approach uses a more abstract language than a programming to specify requirements, defining an operational model of the system. I, as a business analyst, are not expected to know technicalities, so I will definitely not write the whole programming language, but I will mention the requirements or the working of the entire model of the system. Graphical notations. Graphical models with text annotations are used to define the functional requirements for the system. The UML or the Unified Language use case sequence diagram are commonly used for this purpose. So I will use a UML or a sequence diagram to be able to express my graphical notations. Again, for your part of your system requirements or what you would use more in a system requirement. Mathematical specification. These notations are based on mathematical concepts such as a finite state, machines or sets. Now that we've done with the requirement specification, let's move on to the next part, which is validation of the requirements. So requirements validation ensures that the specified requirements meet customer needs. This process involves identifying problems with the requirements. Problems with the requirement can result in significant cost for rework, especially if discovered later in the stages or after the system is in use. Fixing a requirement problem is typically more expensive than repairing the design or code errors. Changing requirement always often requires changes to design and implementation as well as retesting. Now that I've got the requirements, I want to go and validate the raw data against the raw data to ensure that whatever requirements I've specified does meet my customers' need, does meet the needs of my users. Also, cross-checking with the raw data will help you understand or identify any problems, information that you might have been mentioned but you missed while noting it down, and that could be critical to the requirement. Understand, even a small change in UI could result in a lot of rework, and the rework is ultimately an unpayable task. So you will end up investing time, money and energy, and you will not get paid for it. So you would definitely want to ensure that you have understood the requirements correctly and you have made changes to the requirements, or you don't get into a phase where you have to go and fix the requirements, which will give you a major business loss. So obviously if I change a requirement, I will have to make changes to the design, to the implementation, and retest the entire interface. Requirements validation checks include validity checks. The functions proposed by stakeholders should be aligned with that of the system. What the system needs to perform, additional functions can be added later. So validity checks is what is the system intending to perform. Have I validated everything that needs to be done? What the stakeholders want, is that being done? So any additional functions we can add in later, provided it's just a function, not a major change. Consistency check. Requirements and documents shouldn't conflict or have different description for the same function. The same UI should not be different in described in two different formats, complete different formats, which does not make sense at all. Am I going to design two different UIs? No, I'm not going to do that. But then I need to ensure that I've done that correctly. Completeness checks. The document should include all the requirements and constraints. So in case all the requirements, what are the constraints for the various requirements? Everything should be mentioned in my document for completeness. Realism checks. Ensure the requirements can actually be implemented using the knowledge of existing system, the budget schedule, etc. verifiability requirement should be written so that they can be tested. This means you should be able to write a set of tests that demonstrate that the system meets the specified requirement. Are all the requirements that you noted are possible, actually possible? Are they adding to the existing technology? Is it solution? Is it even within the budget that has been allocated? Does it bring the project within the schedule? Does it affect the project or the schedule? Is there a new technology that will need to be brought in? If not, if this is the case, then you'll probably need to validate the requirements with the sponsor to make them understand that everything, something or the other would change on the project and get his consensus on it. Also, you should be able to verify that the system meets the specified requirements. To meet the specified, probably I will have a software testing team. But then within that also, you need to understand who would meet the specified requirements and how will you able to, the software testing team will be able to test those requirements. Study of business processes. Now understand, this is also what I've been talking about, is understanding a business requires a multi-pronged approach. So understand a business process, one can use an approach similar to understanding the architecture of a building. Like with a building, different perspectives are needed to gain a comprehensive understanding of a business process. So when I'm also, each perspective provides a limited view and understanding of the process. To obtain a comprehensive understanding of a business process, it is necessary to deploy as many perspectives as possible within the available time frame. Now, understanding a business process, like mentioned over here, is like a building. How does the building look from the front? How does it look from the back? How does it look from both the sides? It's definitely not going to be the same in every direction. So basically having a 3D model, a 4D model, then how the flats are supposed to individually look inside. Are all the floors going to have the same kind of flat structure, or is it going to change? Am I going to have a garden area at one of the floors, so the structure of the flats will change? Or am I going to have a garden area maybe on the top floor, or jogging on some different floor, swimming on a different floor? So how does that structure look, and how do the flats look in that structure? So basically what you're doing is trying to understand the business process from every angle, like you're trying to understand the building. So that's what you want to do, that you want to gain as many perspectives to the business process as possible. So each process with a limited view and try to get as many perspectives. So key perspectives for and tools for studying a business process: enterprise perspective. What does that mean? The company, products, services, industry, business environment, competitive factors, internal organization such as culture, business and organization structure. In that we'll talk, you can use either Porter's Five Forces framework, value stream analysis, SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weakness, Zachman's framework, critical success factors. When I talk about the flow perspective, understand the flow of work and information processes. So data flow diagrams, activity diagrams, business process modeling notations, etc. Third is the information perspective. So I have the enterprise perspective, I have the flow perspective, now I have the information perspective, which talks about information, understanding everything from an information standpoint. So information needed by every person in the organization, transformation and computation, information for decision making. Again, in the flow perspective, I will use data flow diagrams and activity, while in the information perspective, I'll use critical success factors, which I've also used in the enterprise perspective, and study of existing transactions, so more of a document analysis. Now the process structure or the process perspective. Purpose is to understand the components of the process and their relationship. Components of processes are identified in the form of object, which is anything which contributes to the process or anything whose behavior can affect the process. So it's objects and object relationships. Finally, a dynamic perspective, which is many times processes and systems fail not because of normal day situation, but because of abnormal situation. Hence, it is necessary to study the expectations of to the normal, and this may require at different times, places, people, days of the week, season, to identify abnormal conditions, resulting process behavior. Study a retail shop not only on a working day, but more importantly on weekends and holiday system when footfalls are high. Observation. Ethnographic studies using photos, videos and living the life, and subject event analysis. Then we have, dynamic perspective is more of a experimentation and observation process, where I actually go and view the situation and study the behavior of people and the interactions that they are making. Compliance or security, information security and various forms of industry specific compliances are becoming extremely important. Hence, the study would focus on existing requirements for information success, security and compliance requirements, if any. Study of negative events should not be allowed. And study of specific compliances, that is Basel III in banking, SOX in more, the most export-oriented companies and so on. So we have a new regulation in every country when it comes to data security nowadays, especially with cyber security taking and cyber attacks becoming more frequent. So you want to ensure that you are following the compliances and any sort of information that meets compliances is taken care of. Then you have the user and solution perspective. Purpose is to understand the nature of users, their knowledge of technology, their expectations from the system. The solution can also focus on checking viability of certain pieces of solution. So I will do it more by speaking to users, observing, showing prototypes of the proposed system to understand, is this a solution-oriented approach? Then I have the technology perspective. What does that say? Since the final solution to be proposed will have to take on into consideration the existing technology available within the client environment, it is important to understand the existing platforms, products, tools which the client has been using and is familiar with. If the proposed solution is to replace an existing software, the latter can help understand the application needs. Also, which will tell you that how much is the change, what are the possible solutions that are there, and how will the user interact or accept the system. Study of existing technology and platform, discussion with client IT department to understand the roadmap for technologies in the organization. And finally, the other aspects, which talks about several aspects that need to be quality and other IT standards followed by the client, any sort of standards or compliances that the organization is following. You would want to study the standards for documentation and name file naming so that the backend can be programmed accordingly. Performance expectations, what is the kind of volume of transactions and growth? What is the performance that is expected? How many transactions are we looking at the system? What is the growth? Constraints including those such as physical layouts, environment conditions, heat, dust. Ask client for access to quality standards or checklists if they have of any kind. Use a checklist to gather information about commonly non-functional requirements such as performance. Okay, so that brings us to almost the end, which we are where we are talking about the five big challenges of eliciting requirements. So what are the five big challenges that we have? The first one being cultural work environment, which refers to the condition that exists within and outside of the project team that are addressing the requirements. So what kind of requirement are we looking, and how are the requirements being addressed? What kind of condition exists within the organization, outside the organization? Everything will need to be considered, because that can, the work environment could cause a huge hindrance when it comes to understanding of the requirements. The communication refers to the way we elicit and disseminate information, how is the information being passed to everybody, what are the ways that the information is being passed, what are the various perspectives that are being considered, ways that are being considered. 3. Understanding or knowledge refers to the knowledge that the team members, the customer, and management possess about the requirements and the overall development process. So, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about understanding of the customer, end user, understanding of the stakeholder, understanding of the management about the requirement, how will the overall development structure work, and whether all the requirements that I have is consistent with each other. Staff or people refers to the experience, capabilities, roles, and position that participants bring to the requirement to process. So when I'm going after the requirement, they are going to have their own biases, own experience, own capabilities, own position that will tell that what is the requirements that can be done, what are the roles that they play, and how they add on to the requirement process. Processes, tools, and techniques refers to the mechanism we employ to elicit and manage requirements from the user. What are the best techniques and tools that you're using? Are you using a combination of tool and technologies? Are you using one technique? Does it giving you all the requirement that is there? Are you asking enough, conducting enough personal interviews? Are you conducting enough focus groups? Are you doing the relevant brainstorming that is needed? That is what it talks about. What are the cultural challenges we have? Fluctuating biased and political based requirements, rising expectation by the customer, lack of business strategy or technology strategy, lack of leadership, failure to take the long view, infrequent assessment of risk, fixed price systems work, time to market pressures. So fluctuating biased and politically based requirements. That means, are my requirements more biased? Are they varying from the customer to the user to the stakeholders? Are they getting more politically based? Do I'm supporting a certain party, and is that affecting the requirements that I'm saying? Rising expectation by the customer. The expectations of the customer never change. They only increase, they never decrease. So they might say, oh, we've done this, we now need to do this, and all of that. Is there even a business strategy that is being followed in the organization, or a technical strategy? Are we seeing a lack of leadership where there is no leadership that needs to be followed? Is there a failure to take the long view? Or is there a failure to take the right decision? Do we have that? Do we have infrequent assessment of risks that are there? Are the risks being assessed at the right time? Do we have enough plans that talk about the mitigation of risk? Fixed price systems work. Time to market pressures. How are we handling market pressures? So we spoke about cultural, we spoke about communication. Now let's talk about understanding and knowledge challenges. That instead of the application, the thin spread of application domain knowledge, lack of training of experience in requirement methods, tool techniques, under appreciation for each other's environment. So even when it comes to your cultural challenges, this could even be a challenge from the business analyst point of view. If they're not able to follow all these systems, there is a problem. If he's not able to get an acceptance from the client, it is a problem. Where I can communicate and coordinate breakdowns among members of the design and development team, I'm not able to get, or there is poor communication skill. Why? Because I lack training, I lack experience, there is a language barrier, and which will result into poor communication skill. Then we come on to understanding or knowledge challenges. Do I have enough of application knowledge challenge? Do I have the right training in the tools and experiences that are there? Is there an underappreciation for the environment? staff people, wrong people involved, developers do not like users and vice versa, right people may not be available often or long and all. My stakeholder analysis not done correctly. The management suggested something, but I realized there is something else and I'm not taken it into consideration. Even if the developers do not like the users and vice versa, I still need to ensure that the developers and users are moving in the right direction for the business outcome. And are the right people available? If not, you might want to involve the sponsor to ensure that they are available often and long enough. Processes, tools and techniques, challenges, lack of belief in the front end of the process. You don't believe in your product itself, which is not going to work. As a business analyst, you need to believe. Failure to differentiate between purposeful, functional and non-functional requirements. Have I understood what is the right requirement? What is the complete, concise information? What is the requirements? Which requirements falls into which category? Can I do a trade-off analysis? If I can't do a trade-off analysis, that is also hindering my progress. Moving too fast or too slow in eliciting and interpreting requirements. Failure to use prototyping and other techniques. I cannot go through eliciting either too fast or too slow. I would need to maintain a consistent pace. I might need to go back to eliciting requirements to ensure that I've got the requirements correctly. Okay, so failure to use prototyping, I'm not using the right prototyping techniques, difficulty modeling and communicating requirements. Am I able to model correctly? Am I able to communicate the requirement properly? Fault requirement specification, you do not want that. You definitely want to ensure that the requirements is not flawed in any way. Too little testing and internal review, a lot of testing to ensure that you're missing, meeting the relevant criteria. Have you set up the right tests that need to be done? Missing audit trails, too little management and oversight of the requirements process. I'm not monitoring, I'm not managing the requirements correctly and all of that. So what have we learned from this chapter? The summary: elicitation and collaboration is considered one of the most important knowledge area in the PAP BOG guide for business analytics. Please study this very carefully because this will drive your entire business analysis project. Elicitation involves gathering of information from stakeholders to discover the requirements for the solution. Collaboration in business analysis involves the joint work of a group of people towards a common objective. Regardless of whether you're working or on traditional or agile ways of working, it is necessary to elicit needs and requirements from stakeholders and collaborate effectively with them. Whichever PM technique you're using, project management technique, whether it is a waterfall approach or an agile approach, does not matter, provided it meets and your requirements and drives you in the right direction. Thank you.